This is the iMoveU podcast, getting you private practice ready. We give you fresh ideas on mindset, communication, and clinical skills so you can have a fulfilled career.
What a time to be alive. Welcome to the iMoveU podcast. Pete here, I'll be your host today, and we have a very special guest, Mr. Stephen King. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you very much, Flynn.
All right. Now, I was actually really, really fortunate to study with Steve at uni, and he was probably one of the best people in my cohort just in terms of incredible hands-on manual therapy skills, because he actually went and did osteopathy before he went and did, you know, a master's in physiotherapy. I'd like to start there, Steve, because that is a rare combo. In fact, you're probably the only person I know that is both an osteopath and a physiotherapist. Can you maybe just let our audience know a little bit more about why you chose to do both and how that shaped your career so far?
Yeah, look, it definitely, look, there are a few of us around, but there is a little bit of a rare combination. But for me, I guess it came from a lack of satisfaction, I guess, coming out as a new graduate from my osteopathy studies. So yeah. I'd done my 5 years master's in osteopathy, and I came out and while I was going through my osteopathy studies, I was working as a personal trainer, and I really struggled to take those people who I was training and put them on the treatment table and take those people who I was treating and get them up and get them moving again. So for me, I decided, after a year, being out of practice for a year, to go back and add into the physiotherapy master's. So I was fortunate enough to come over and study with you over in Adelaide. And, for me, I was really hoping that would bridge the gap between those two things. And while, look, it helped a lot around clinical reasoning, I think you got some great education there, a lot around pain science and communication, something you're very passionate about, and a lot about neuroscience. I think we did 1 2-hour class of Pilates as the only exercise we did in that course. So for me, while it did help me bridge the gap in some of those other areas and learn a lot about myself and the journey, it probably didn't actually sort of fulfill the needs which I thought I had at the time, which was that sort of more exercise and movement-based approach.
That's quite interesting, actually. And it's something that we find as well when we're talking to physiotherapy graduates, is that there is a bit of a lack of understanding of, I guess, how the body itself moves. And, at the moment, as physiotherapists especially, we like to pride ourselves on being very evidence-based. And, if you jump on any Facebook discussion, you'll see that hammered home, right? But the thing that kills me is I don't feel like at university we're getting taught enough of the exercise base, when we know where that's where a lot of the evidence sits. If you're looking at how to get someone better from a shoulder injury per se, I don't know if you're a Meekins fan or not, but very much if you can strengthen it, if you can improve the mobility and the movement of that joint, and that goes across pretty much every joint within the body, you're going to have fantastic outcomes. What do you think, because I find this really interesting and slightly off tangent here, but what do you think we could be doing more as, clinicians talking to universities? Is it something that we should be pushing that, hey, we do, or as business owners, we do need more exercise prescription at uni?
Definitely. Look, I think, you were very fortunate to go through your exercise science background, sort of human movement, before you went into physiotherapy. And I think that's a really great pathway, because a lot of those basic strength and conditioning principles, which have been around for a long time, are used a lot in, your sporting performance pathways and that sort of stuff, fit really well into the clinical model. But for some reason, the university courses haven't yet started to apply that sort of information into it and guide physiotherapy exercise prescription in that way, I guess. So I think it is changing. And I think definitely since we graduated how many years ago now, it's definitely, there's some much better implementation in the courses, but I still think we could be a lot better as a profession. As you said, there is a big focus on movement as medicine, I guess. So I think, it's only going to be positive going that way. And for me, I realized that, I went and did a lot of studies overseas, went over to the USA and did a number of courses over there, went over to the UK and through Europe, trying to absorb as many different things as I can. But it really shouldn't have to be that way. I think we should be able to, learn some of these things locally. And you should come out as an undergraduate, I believe, with those skills in exercise prescription being a key part of practice.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. In fact, when I finished, I found that I wasn't super confident with exercise, but I also wasn't super confident with manual therapy. And I sort of sat somewhere in between, that you know, I could do a bit of massage. We'd done one hour lecture on, you know, manipulations, and I'd say that probably wasn't the best lecture, as someone manipulated my neck to show the class and said, oh, I would have failed on that one, as I freaked out in my head going, am I going to have a stroke, right? So I find that for me was quite concerning going, I didn't feel confident in either sphere there. Do you feel that it's the uni's job to give us just a baseline, and then it's our job to go out and find those really specific courses, or should we go more in depth through university?
Look, that's a challenging question, I think. And each university is different, and they've got different, they've got different standards and stuff they need to meet. So they have to, I guess, provide a broad base. But I think that's maybe where the physio profession has been watered down and probably lost some of its, appeal to the general market. And you're starting to see a lot of other professions maybe come into this space, which physiotherapy 20 to 30 years ago sort of really owned. And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that you do come out of university knowing a little bit about, lots of different things, but you don't really have a lot of information about the key thing, which 70 to 75% of people will go into private practice. But, the course that we went through, there's probably 20% was focused on actually going to private practice. The rest was going into, more hospital, community-based care.
Yeah, no, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Now, let's go a little bit further down your journey. Now, the next part of your journey was building the mat and coming up with the mat technology and assessment. Can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
I guess that came off the back of the physiotherapy masters and then going overseas to the USA and to the UK to try and learn a lot about different movement philosophies. And myself and my business partner, Andrew Lemon, came together and we had similar philosophies. We thought we were starting to do some good things, bringing together lots of these different movement-based and strength and conditioning-based approaches. But we actually wanted to know, are we actually making a meaningful change for the people we work with? Are we actually getting them back closer to reaching their individual needs, wants or goals? And we didn't really have a tangible way to be able to do that and collect, reliable objective data around those things which are meaningful for that individual and all the different capacities that they need to achieve their goals. So we wanted a quick, simple, easy and reliable way to measure it. So, and measure all three planes of motion. So we started to come up with, obviously the mat. We started drawing a few lines on a yoga mat a bit over 5.5 years ago now. And, it's exciting now that we've had over, 5,500 people join us on this journey of collecting meaningful data to help people get better outcomes and reach their goals.
I love that, mate. I love that. And you've actually been lucky enough to present that not just in Australia, but overseas in Europe and whatnot as well. How did that come about? Oh, that's fascinating.
Look, social media is a beautiful thing. We're probably on it right now on many different platforms. And around that time when we launched sort of 5 years ago, there was a great deal of, traction you could get. You put up one post and you hit 100,000 people. So a bit different to the times that you see these days when you're lucky to get over 1,000 people, to see one of your posts. But for us, we were fortunate that our message sort of resonated with some people. So we initially ran a course just for 11 of our close friends and colleagues, mainly osteopaths. Yeah. Our first course, and they told a few people, and we ended up going up and running some couple of courses in Sydney and Brisbane and Perth, and at first sort of saw that this was not only a problem or a solution that people wanted in Australia but also over in New Zealand, and we got invited over there by a university, and from there we got invited to Hong Kong, and it really just took off. I think in the next sort of 2 years we ran about 70 courses around the world. We've now been into almost every continent as well. So it's really exciting to see, this is a, important thing for people around the world. People are starting to think about more data and bring science into practice with the people they work with. So I think we still got a long way to go with that. But, I'm excited now to have a lot of people behind us help us on this journey.
Congratulations, my friend. That is genuinely incredible. Such an impact to have. You mentioned social media in there, and that's something that we're hot on at iMoveU, and we, hadn't even thought about this, this question for you. But how has social media impacted the influence you've been able to have so far?
Oh, definitely. So it takes you beyond your 3x3 treatment room traditionally, as a physiotherapist or osteopath or any other sort of health or fitness professional, and really allows you to share your sort of message and your passion with the world. Like, you don't have to be, trying to target everyone. You can use it in lots of different ways, and that's the beauty of it. But I think if you're not using it, today. Look, there's a lot of things you're leaving on the table, I think, in regards to, you know, having an impact and taking your message. Because I think, you know, I think the days for me of seeing a patient one-on-one in a treatment room, I can only affect, you know, 40 to 50 patients a week before I start to, you know, hit that point where I start to probably burn out a little bit. Whereas with this, you know, now we've anticipated that we're helping about 1 million people each month with the stuff that we've done over the last 5 years, with everybody using the MAT and our approach and stuff. And our aim is to make that 1 million people, help 1 million people per day with everyone behind us. So we anticipate we're about 2 years away from that. So hopefully with this momentum, we can start to have some bigger appeal. So for me, coming out as a physiotherapist, I wanted to help people. And what I've realised is social media is just a fantastic tool to, you know, amplify the message and the things that we want to do in helping people. And getting towards that, you know, helping hopefully 1 million people a day around the world.
Brilliantly said, my friend. What would your one top tip be for someone coming out their first few years of practice for using social media?
Keep it simple and have a strategy. Yeah. I think so. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be posting three times a day, but the consistency with that posting and having a strategy to help you remain consistent is the key. So as you start to get out and you start to produce content, you know, that starts to then grow. And you can also start to reuse content a bit or tweak that to allow you to create other content as well. So as long as you're consistent, you know, if you can post three times a week for the first year, you know, you're getting up to 150 pieces of content. The next year, if you start to tweak that and adapt that and then add in new content, all of a sudden you've done that three times, you've got 300 pieces after that year. And so the content grows and develops, and it really helps you solidify your learning as well, which for me is probably got me to a point in my career where I'm now. A lot of the things that I've gone and sort of taught other people through social media and our courses has really helped me adapt and become a better professional as well.
Amazing, mate. Amazing. I love it. Now, moving on from Matt, obviously the most recent endeavor you've gone down, which is super exciting, is the AXIT technology. And my friend Mick Risk has obviously invested in them and loves them at his clinic. He raves about them all the time, keeps asking, when are we going to get one? So we do have to soon. But can you explain to the viewers a little bit about what it is, what it does, and why you created it?
So I guess the AXIT system is an evolution, I guess, of the stuff we've been doing with Matt and really trying to help health and fitness professionals move into the 21st century. So from a basic point of view, there's some load and force measuring devices. So we've got some force plates, our stomp it devices. We've got the push it, which is a handheld dynamometer. There's a bit of a difference in that we've got a cap, which helps to standardize the measurements you can collect with it. And then we've got the puller device, which allows you to measure concentrically and eccentrically any muscle or movement you want to be able to do. So it's really, you know, with the MAT, we were able to start to assess some fundamental or functional movements, balance and proprioception, have a look at some flexibility and range of motion. This has been the next evolution in being able to really standardize and bring strength and power measurement technology, which was traditionally only affordable for elite sporting clubs and universities, into the general practice. Because we feel while this technology is often associated with, you know, the elite athletes and high performing sports players, this technology is valuable for everyone and can really help enhance our decision making with the people we're working with and help them to reach their goals.
So good, mate. So good. And is there a software that goes with this that basically would come up with results? Does it offer printouts, those types of things?
Yeah, for sure. So all the technologies all run via Bluetooth through a tablet, which comes with the system. And basically, the reason we went down this path is we invested about $60,000 to $70,000 when we started our clinic. We put some in-ground force plates in. We got some portable force plates. We got some sensor technology, a two-capture video analysis system, and just found it was all really clunky. It took a long time to set up. When we're using it, the data and output was pretty raw, and you needed to be a data scientist to interpret it, which was okay. But as we especially started to build our team, yeah, and for the young professionals coming out who are just learning the basic skills, I guess, of being a, you know, physiotherapist or osteopath or health or fitness professional, there's a lot of stuff you've already tried to learn. We wanted this stuff to be simple enough that you could pick it up and anyone could start to interpret it without having to be a data scientist. And we designed it as much for your clients as we have for the person using it as well. So you can actually educate and enhance, you'll love this, the communication experience with them. To be able to, there's no good, you know, having that. You can have the best data in the world, but if you actually can't explain and communicate what that means and how it's going to help them reach their individual needs, wants, or goals, look, there's no point collecting that data, really.
Mm, absolutely. And I'm really keen to have a look at that because I find something that's worked really well for us. We've got the Nord board and the groin bar. More than anything itself is just being able to give them a printout that says, this is where you are. This is where we need you to be. All right. And this is what we're going to work towards. And just them being able to visually see that is more powerful than me going, oh, like, you know, you just need to increase this, or there's a bit of a change we need to make here. It's them being able to see that on paper and take that home. It's just so powerful, I find.
Very much so. And it really enhances the buy-in you can get into your plans, I guess, for them. We found it's really great from the business point of view for attention, because you actually, you know, going beyond the basic stuff that you traditionally do and actually starting to build their strength and their power and using that strength and conditioning-based approach. And for me, it's also, and for a lot of our users, it's really allowed us to package up what we do really nicely and create a bit of a niche or specialty as well. So we've got people who are using it in lots of different ways to really leverage their current skills and really make themselves, you know, the go-to person to see around a particular area, which is pretty awesome.
It really is. It's amazing technology. And I think the more people that start using technology like this, the more we're going to improve healthcare as a whole. It's going to have to lift, because if someone goes to one clinic and they get kind of like an okay experience, and their friend goes somewhere else and their friend's like, oh, I got this report and, you know, I know exactly what I need to do, and they use these force platforms and they've got this app, like, where do you think this other person's going to go? They're obviously going to be like, oh, I'm getting ripped off. All I got was like a handwritten little thing. Like, it's that massive difference, and people are starting to really value technology more in healthcare.
I think, you know, you guys are leading the way in that and enhancing the client experience. And this is just, you know, one part of that journey, and we think a really important part of that journey to get people, you know, where they want to go and get a great outcome and create raving fans who are going to go out and actively promote our business as well.
No, absolutely. Now, one question that I like to ask people like yourself is, what are some hurdles that you've faced in your journey? Because you've had a very interesting journey. What's maybe one or two hurdles you've faced, and how have you overcome those?
I guess the initial one, which probably led me down the path of physiotherapy and going down the subjective data approach, was that, I guess, bit of disillusionment where I'd get someone who'd come in with a hamstring strain, for instance, and I'd came out of osteopathy and even coming out of physiotherapy, and I'd do some great soft tissue work, you know, or first I'd measure their strength. I'd push down on their leg. I'd go, okay, that's a bit weak there. I'd measure their hamstring range of motion, go, oh yeah, okay, you're a bit tight there. You know, that's a bit restricted. I'd get in there and palpate with my hands, which I prided myself on being pretty good with. And okay, there's a little tear in that muscle. And then I'd do some great treatment. I'd do some soft tissue. I'd do some stretching, give them some exercises to do. And, you know, we get them to that point 3 or 4 weeks post-injury and get them back onto the sporting field. And you know what would happen, you know, a week later, a month later, 3 months later?
They injure themselves.
They'd be back with the same thing or potentially worse. And I think, you know, the biggest case where I went back in to do physio was, you know, where someone, they'd had a couple of recurrent hamstring strains. And I just thought, I'm missing something here. Unfortunately, I wasn't active enough and they went and injured their ACL a bit later on in that journey. And that's what I said, I think there had to be a better way. And so by actually having some technology like the AXIS system, be able to measure strength and power, be able to measure things like range of motion, flexibility and balance on the mat, we can really, you know, target down what are the key, you know, deficits that we really need to improve with this person, you know, to get them back to where they want to be. So for me, it was that lack of objectivity. So that was the number one thing, you know, that was the problem with my initial practice. The second one is, you know, overcoming the fear, I think, of putting myself out there and opinions and stuff out there, I think, too. It's probably not as natural as some people like yourself who do it really well, but it is quite daunting putting yourself out there on social media and your opinions and putting it out there for people to judge. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned Adam Meekins. Like, he initially, when we first started our journey, actually was a pretty big critic and, you know, had a couple of posts around some of our stuff. And, you know, we've kissed and made up from there, and we actually, you know, have some good relationships there now. But, you know, some of those things, initially, you take those to heart. Whereas I think, you know, you've just got to think about what your message is and where you want to, what you want to achieve. And for us, it was trying to, again, amplify that message and bring objectivity, bring data and bring science to people. So they didn't have to go through that pathway that I did after university, you know, feeling a bit disillusioned that I wasn't actually helping, you know, the people I was working with. Maybe my skills weren't good enough. You know, I thought that my, you know, my soft tissue wasn't good enough or my stretching or my manipulation skills weren't good enough. It was actually, I was just sort of looking at the wrong information. So by having this right information to look at, we can make better decisions and, you know, get better outcomes for people.
That is incredible. And for all our listeners, that is super, super valuable. Just on Adam Meekins, we don't agree on everything either. And he has many times gone and done a video about maybe a post that we did, because we are big on, you know, manual therapy early on in that journey to build that rapport and relationship. And I completely respect that he's completely against that. However, we still get along really, really well. And if you've watched Mick's recent video, it was quite funny about exactly that.
Now, I think it's just about doing it in a respectful way, I think, is the most. There's no problem with having arguments. And most importantly, don't take things personally. I think on social media, you can often, it amplifies, I think, feeling and emotion, especially when you've got tone. And you wouldn't say that a lot of the things you got to think about, would I say this to someone in person or not? And that's the approach that I try and take now. Would I actually say this to someone in person? If not, step back, walk away from your computer, put your phone down, go for a walk and you'll feel better.
That is some very good advice that many people need to hear. Now, lastly, where can our listeners connect with you? Where can they follow you? Where can they find out about any upcoming courses that you have going on, mate?
Yeah, so look, obviously there's a few places. So personally, you can jump on and have a bit of a look at my profile and podcast at 21stcentury.physio. So we'll have to get you on there pretty soon, Pete. We've also, obviously, mattassessment.com is where you can find out about MAT courses around the world. We sort of will be have some courses through Australia, Asia, Europe, and the US next year. And then Access is by strengthbynumbers.com. So a few places you can go and check us out. It keeps us pretty busy.
Sounds very good. And we will put all those links in with the podcast, guys, so you'll be able to find Steve, the Matt, and the Access. Amazing. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us, Steve. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. I learned some fantastic stuff and had a great chat as well, mate. So, look, thank you. All the best.
Thanks, Flynn. Good to catch up again. It's been too long since university, and hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
No doubt we will. To our listeners, what a time to be alive. Hope you enjoy this podcast, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
This is the iMoveU podcast, getting you private practice ready. We give you fresh ideas on mindset, communication, and clinical skills so you can have a fulfilled career.